Let us pray. Holy God, we come to you today with our biggest questions. Who are we called to be? What do you need from us? Where are you in our midst? How can we follow you more clearly? As we read your word today, we ask that you would weave answers into the text. Speak to us through these ancient stories that we might find what we are seeking in you. With gratitude and open hearts, we pray. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning is Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4a. Listen for the word of the Lord. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. This is the word of the Lord.
The book of James is thought to have been written by James, the brother of Jesus, or maybe an editor from the school of his followers who wanted to share their wise advice with the new Greek-speaking Jewish Christians. Some think that this book is actually more a wisdom literature in the New Testament. So let's listen to the living word from James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. "You must understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for human anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who looked into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers but forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. May your Spirit surround us this day and speak to us what you would have us say. Amen. We interrupt this regularly scheduled program for an important announcement. And how many of you heard beep, beep, beep after I said that? Yep. So I had a cute sermon all ready to go. Finished Friday afternoon. It was all about listening to disruptions until life was disrupted. It felt very disingenuous for the whole theme of the sermon to be pay attention to the disruptions that call us out in our lives and then not do so myself when the world disrupted my schedule, when bombs started flying again. The powerful have forgotten the call from James to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. It should come as no surprise to anyone that a pastor feels war and military action should be the last option taken to protect people. Now, please don't think that that means I disrespect our military at all. That being opposed to war and not respecting military are totally different things. I honor those who defend us and protect us, so much to the point where I respect their call and value them highly enough that they should be a last resort, and we should deploy them carefully and with deliberation and only when absolutely necessary. The Office of Public Witness for the Presbyterian Church USA writes, As Christians shaped by the reconciling love of Jesus Christ, we grieve every life lost and every family now living in terror. Decisions of war and peace are measured not in political claims, but in human lives. They continue, we affirm clearly the Iranian government's repression, corruption, and human rights are real and grievous. Our opposition to this escalating military action is not a defense of authoritarian rule. Lasting peace and freedom require sustained diplomacy, support for civil society, regional de-escalation, and accountability under international laws. We're sitting here this morning in a stew of emotions. Anger, fear, and anxiety pull us away from what Christ would have us do and be. Nuclear talks and resolutions were frustratingly slow in our talks with Iran, and likely not as decisive as we would have wanted. But I fear that missiles and threats will not achieve security either, and they will move the whole world further from peace. Violence is not a negotiation tactic, and the cost of lives of any in our military and our friends, neighbors, and enemies are too high. And that's not even talking about the accidental casualties of those that get caught in the crossfire. The domino effect of this, our world is so interlinked. The domino effect will mean that it impacts those here who are already struggling to make ends meet as our supply chains get broken and disrupted, and international dependencies start crashing into one another. As Christians of a powerful nation, we have a responsibility on the world stage to hold up an honest mirror and remember what we see. I read a few articles as I was diving into figuring out what in the world was going on. And so I read them from other nations' newspapers to see the perspectives of the world. And it made me squirm. We can't simply say that we disagree or agree with our nation's leaders and the actions and then just keep going on. Because this is us. We own this. We are all connected and can't disassociate it from that mirror when the reflection might be ugly. Are we slowing down enough to look carefully? Are we bridling our tongues as we begin conversation to actively listen to what God might be saying to us through those we live with, who we work with, and who we encounter every day? Or are we rushing past that reflection and forgetting who we are and what God is showing us so quickly that we immediately forget? In the church world, I often share with people that the disruptions are many times way more important than what I have scheduled and I have on my day-to-day agenda. The disruptions break in and they call us. They call us to be real. They call us to be with and for each other, to hold one another in prayer, and sometimes literally in our arms when what looks back at us from the mirror is broken, is sad, or sends us into a spiral of feeling unworthy. We're called to the disruption, to true seeing, so that we know how to start being the community of Christ, together with and for one another. This isn't a one and done, but it's a constant beginning again, a reset that we need to pay attention to in our lives as followers of Christ. To be blessed as doers who act, we act together. We disrupt when something is the way our faith guides us to live and love, and it guides who we are. The world was disrupted as missiles and bombs were hurled across space, crashing into children too close to targets. A giant mirror is before us. Look closely. Are the children of the world running to us for protection, or are they trembling in fear of us? This is frightening, this is maddening, and this is hard. Matthew's gospel tells us Blessed are the peacemakers, the doers of peace. Hate will never drive out hate. Fear is the weapon of war that we must counter with love. Start here in our community. Are we ready to step up for the casualties and sidesteps of the war? PCUSA's public witness summarizes, as Presbyterians, we confess that true security does not come through military might, but through justice, restraint, and accountability. We call for an immediate cessation of further military escalation and a return to diplomacy grounded in law. The stakes are too high for impulsive action or open-ended conflict. They continue, we pray for wisdom and courage among leaders, for the peoples of Iran, for Israelis, for Palestinians, for U.S. service members, and for all who may suffer as a result of this decision. And we recommit ourselves to Christ's call to be peacemakers in a world too quick to reach for war. We must return to diplomacy instead of bombs. Peacemaking is hard work. It's time to be active, courageous, and lean into the justice that Jesus Christ calls us to defend for each and every precious child. Look in mirrors together. That requires mutual honesty. It requires a disruption of our day-to-day routines. It requires us to look with eyes that are beyond our own capabilities and lean into the Holy Spirit in and through each and every one of us. Ann Weems puts it very well in her poem, I No Longer Pray for Peace. Listen to her words. I no longer pray for peace. I pray for miracles. I pray that stone hearts will turn to tender-heartedness and evil intentions will turn to mercifulness. And all the soldiers already deployed will be snatched out of harm's way, and the whole world will be astounded onto its knees. I pray that all the God talk will take bones and stand up and shed its cloak of faithlessness and walk again in its powerful truth. I pray that the whole world might sit down together and share its bread and its wine. Some say there is no hope. But then I've always applauded the holy fools who never seem to give up on the scandalousness of our faith, that we are loved by God, that we can truly love one another. I no longer pray for peace. I pray for miracles. As our last verse from James tells us today, pure religion before God the Father is to care for orphans and widows in distress and keep oneself unstained by the world. Dare to push the reset button. Be honest, be raw and open, and real about fears. Real with the hard topics and our worries about our need to share burdens and to act for justice, even when it isn't convenient. Dare to imagine a world where war is no more, and dive into the hard work of being peacemakers. Live into our faith this Lent to begin again. Look for the miracle. Reframe and reclaim what Christianity is, who we are by caring for and loving each child of God in every way we possibly can, until Christ's light blankets the whole world in peace.